She wants a bonbon too.
Oh, a bonbon. Okay. The role of meditation in my life. What do I think about 24 hours daily? Meditation stabilizes me in every manner. Meditation opens the inner me to the outer. Meditation is my shopping basket. Now, we've talked about all these aspects, not perhaps in just those terms, but we've talked about all these aspects. How did we call meditation a shopping basket? What did we do as a shopping basket? Does anyone know? What did we do as a shopping basket?
Gather.
Yes, gathering. Getting a $30 million check. Huh? Having value, knowing what your product is worth, knowing what you're worth, and putting the cause in motion by saying, I want this, I want that, I want the other thing, right? No, we said, all is in divine order. When we say all is in divine order, we have to know our value. But when we say all is in divine order, then all of our students pay the price that they're supposed to be paying. Now, what is your counseling work supposed to bring you? Is it supposed to bring you $5 an hour? Is it supposed to bring you $1,000 an hour? Is it supposed to bring you $800 an hour? What's it supposed to bring you? $20 an hour should be a reasonable price, right?
For counseling? For cleaning?
No, I'm saying jokingly to you, $20 an hour should be enough, would it? Well, yes, if you want me to clean your house, $20 an hour. But if you want counseling, you are dealing with a whole different ball of wax. Now, what would be a fair price per hour for counseling? What would you say? Allie? And if you don't have any confidence, don't open your mouth.
I say $100.
$100 an hour. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what do you say?
I say $100 an hour.
What do you say, Ellen?
Is this now a personal question? Or
it's a personal question. A personal question of what would be a normal rate for counseling as a spiritual counselor. But you don't call it spiritual counseling. You call it metaphysical counseling, or you call it whatever you call it. What would be a rate that you would consider?
I wouldn't even consider a rate.
Well, Bernie considered a rate, and he knew what he was taking and what he was not taking.
Right.
He knew what he wanted and what he got, you know. But he had a point. Mm-hmm. And I think we should all have some sort of point. And this is what they teach in religious science, that every counselor should have a rate program. And
But we don't do that.
I'm saying this is what they do. Now, why am I bringing this up to you right now?
I think you're trying to get us to set a value on what it is we have to offer.
Right. You had a comment?
Ourselves. What we're...
what you're worth?
Yes.
Unlimited.
Unlimited, that's true, yeah. Now, what did I say?
$30 million.
$30 million. Mm-hmm. Not bad, huh? Yeah.
Because you know that $30 million, think of the change that can happen instantly. That is why we know ourselves worth that much.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for ourselves. It is through ourselves to complete the cycle of the school.
Yeah. To complete the cycle puts a limitation on it. What it is what we're worth. And when we receive what we're worth, that means we're operating at peak efficiency. Now, I am not saying you should go after the money. The money is great and is proper. But the thing is, if you don't have any idea what it's worth, what should you give when you go to church on Sunday? What should you give what most people think?
Oh, I know what the church thinks.
What do most people think? They think a dollar, don't they?
As little as possible.
Huh?
Probably as little as possible.
As little as possible. Now, what does the church think?
They want 10%.
Oh, yeah. They want 10%. Now, that's right, too. So now, in your counseling work, your counseling work should be based on that 10%. You see? Does that make any sense? No. I'm making these statements, and Ellen is thinking to herself, Herb, you don't teach that. You don't teach that. That's true. But I'm sharing with you right now for a number of reasons. The reason that I'm sharing it with you is that it has come to your mind. You do have it in your consciousness that you want to charge a fee for your counseling services, and this is a normal and practical thing to do. You know what you're worth. Now, Alice, what are you worth as a counselor per hour?
$100 an hour.
$100 an hour. All right, now, if Alice is worth $100 an hour, she should have that in her consciousness, and that should be what she is given by each of her counselees for any hour or portion thereof, right?
If that's true.
Huh?
That's what she wants, yeah.
If that's what she wants.
Right.
If that's what she wants. Now, never less.
No.
All right, now, so, now, why should you get more if you are only worth 100? Alice? Allie? Are you worth $30 million for an hour's work?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes,
well,
I am.
You like that, don't you? All right,
yes.
Now, we want to think in unlimited terms that we are independently wealthy, and this money is ours from every source. However, what's his name? Donald Trump? Donald Trump?
Yes.
Now, Donald Trump is so rich that he doesn't know how to think about it. And that's good. Does Donald Trump give away his services? No. Does he charge even though he doesn't need the money?
Yes.
Because he knows the value of his services. Now, if he were called in by IBM to counsel with them on how they could better market their product, and they wanted his opinion, what do you think he would charge them?
$30 million.
For 1 hour.
I don't know.
Do you understand?
Yes, I know what you're saying.
Now, he knows the value. Now, would he get it?
Yes.
Does he get such an outrageous figure? Yes. Is it outrageous to him? No. They say of Bill Gates that he is so rich that he cannot afford to bend over and pick up $5. Can you imagine that? In time, his per minute earnings are so great that for him to pick up $5 on the floor is a waste of his time. This is just a sample, just an idea, a concept, but it's true. He is earning by thinking of his positive thinking and thinking of his business and so on. He is earning something like $20 million an hour. $20 million an hour, and that is just based upon the amount of money that is operating his business. That's not based upon the amount of money that he is worth here, and that how much has he put in his charity program? The billions of dollars that he has his wife operating in the charity program? You can't even think of billions of dollars, Then just imagine what that consciousness is to have that. Now, let's play with him for a minute. How did he get that consciousness? He got that consciousness by being one-pointed on his ideals and his dreams. And his ideals and dreams are writing software, are playing the software game. Why did he take himself off as the chief executive officer of his company? Why did he take himself off of that? Because it took time. He had to think of the nitty-gritty little details that go into operating this billion-dollar businesses that he's got. He wanted to just be the president where he could be making whatever rules he wanted to. He's in the show. But he could be playing his game of working on his software. Now, does he have fun doing that? You bet. Does he like his little watch, and does he like the little gadgets that he comes up with? Yes, he's having a ball. Does he like playing with his kids at home? You bet. Does he leave the office at the office when he goes home? Never. He is the office. He is his software. Ideas flash through his mind, whether he's in the middle of dinner or in the middle of playing with his kids or whatever he's doing. He is a genius. And are you a genius? Yes. Are you equal to Bill Gates any day? Yes. What difference is the difference between you and Bill Gates? Bill Gates is consistent in following his program. He is consistent in following his dream. He's consistent in being himself and having fun. And this is what it's all about. Being consistent and being yourself and following your game. That's very important. And we are not consistent in all ways in following our program. What is it? I say this to Ellen. Ellen, what is your responsibility on campus? She's the chairman of the board. She's the chief executive officer. She's the chief financial officer. She runs all the checks. She runs all the billing, all the accounting. She runs everything. And she's doing great. And I say, Ellen, do you ever get overload? You know, like this? You ever get like you want to run away? And she's so often, you know. And I said, well, whenever you feel like you want to run away, just realize you're not important. If you die tomorrow, the business will go on. It may stumble a little bit, but it'll go on. So you're not that important. So if you feel that important, stop it. And just relax. And go take a walk. Go take a swim. You know, go and take your dogs out. Go play with your dogs. I say, Ellen, when's the last time you rolled on the floor with your dogs? And she says, well, we roll on the bed sometimes. You know? But when's the last time you rolled on the floor with the dogs? And it's not often enough. She's so busy. I go into the swimming pool area, and I look in the window, and I see her sitting at her desk there, and she's like this here, you know, deep in concentration, deep in work. I finish with my work in the jacuzzi and the Swimex, you know, and then I come out, and I go back to my place, I look in the door, there she is, you know, still working away. I go in there, and I say, what are you working at so seriously here? And she says, well, I'm doing this or that, and I say, well, take a pause, take a break, you're going to bust the gut, you know, and this sort of stuff, relax, relax, relax. And she says, but this has got to get out. And I said, well, don't worry about it. If it gets out on time, fine. If it doesn't get out on time, fine. But we'll get it out on time. No problem. Put aside a few other things and then let it get out on time. She said, but I got to get this bill paid. You got plenty of time. We pay our bills ahead of time all the time anyhow, so what difference does it make? We'll have it done. And you know, I hear the big sigh and then she feels just great. But we're not that important. But we should know our value. We should know what we're worth. And when we know what we're worth, then we are happy about that, and then we go on. Does Bill Gates require that he gets a certain amount of money for counseling? Nope. He lets his company take care of that. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's worth. He says, Bill, they want you to come and speak at this meeting, and they'll give you $20 million. And Bill says, whatever you say. If you think I'm worth $20 million, you go ahead. Righto. So then his person writes the other company and says, Bill says, what did you think he was worth? And they said, well, our budget is only $35 million for the keynote speaker. Well, he'll take that, you know. Now, he doesn't need the $35 million. He doesn't need that. But it needs to be paid for him because that's his value at that point. You understand? We need to know our value at that point. And we don't have to be paid it, but we need to know our value. And then we let it be paid. And then what does Bill Gates do with the checks he gets from these speaking engagements? Tell me quickly, anybody? He gives them to charity. He gives them to some charity. Not necessarily one of his, but to some charity. We should get online. But he gives them to some. And all these big people who earn tremendous amounts of money, give their checks to charity for their speaking engagements. And they tell the people at the point when they get the check, they have given it to their charity, and they have given it to the wave that has gone over Sri Lanka and so forth. They've given it to the people who are under pressure, or wherever there's a flood or a landslide or something. They've given it to that charity. And that's lovely, you know. And the people say, wow, Bill Gates is a great guy. He's a wonderful guy, you know. And it's true. Mm-hmm. It's true. But you see, he can do those things. And you can do it too. And I would have done it too. I would have given the $30 million back to these people for their gift to me for speaking there. It's been very nice, you know. I mean, my God, 30 million divided by the number of people who are in the audience is some 60 or 75 people. That's high price. But why not? Why not? But he could have told that to his people, and they would have said, wow. What are you going to do with the money? that goes into our trust fund, you know. And it is our trust fund. And we don't spend it. But you see, this is the beauty of it. So, what is in your meditation shopping basket? Just as one thing, knowing your value. As another thing, what is it that turns you on? Do you want to be a counselor? Or do you want to run a boutique? Or do you want to stay at home? Or do you want to be a swimming instructor? Or what do you want to be? You know? It doesn't matter what you want to be. But the thing is, have some dreams. Have some dreams. And then let these dreams play in your mind. And as they play in your mind, you empower them little by little. And who knows which one your consciousness is going to select to say, that's the one I really want. That your own indwelling self says, that's who I really am. You know? And then you say, okay, indwelling self, if that's who I really am, we really am, is our, let's go for it. And, they said, I'm waiting for you to say, let's go for it. So turn on the gas and shoo, off you go. The metal to the floor, right? The pedal to the metal. And you see our dust. But isn't that wonderful? I tell you, it's great. Okay, now. Second half this afternoon, started at 3:30, which is approximately correct. No, it's 4:30. Being myself and having fun, so simple, yet it says so very much. What kind of people can say being myself and having fun very strongly? What kind of people can say it very strongly? And I develop an awareness as I claim it. And then there's a 98-year-old blind lady. Now, what is your goal for yourself? We'll start with the 98-year-old blind lady. Did you hear my story of the 98-year-old blind lady?
This is not the one with the teeth, is it?
Hmm?
This is not the lady you talk about with the growing the tooth every year?
No, it's another one. She was 100. Yeah. Well, we oftentimes don't know what we want in life. We oftentimes don't know what our dreams are. We don't know really what turns us on. We don't know. And so we don't get anything. We don't get anything fulfilled. We just go blotching through life having half-baked stuff. Our wardrobe is not what we'd like, but it's okay. Our body is not what we'd like, but it's okay. You go ahead and laugh. Yeah. I mean, it's a joke, you know. But sometimes our body, we're too heavy, we're too thin, we're too tall, we're too short, whatever. And we don't know what we want to do. We don't know what we want to do. And until we have some ideas in our shopping basket of what we'd really like to be and do and have in our world, we can't have it. So now, you say you'd like a body of a certain weight and certain height and certain frame and so forth. You say you'd like muscles of certain dimensions and this and that. And it's a joke. It's a joke. And the joke is because you don't really believe it. You say, I have it, and then it goes away. I have it, and then it goes away. I remember when I was, and I do this, and I do that. And you see, when you say that, you don't believe it. When you one-pointedly see yourself at a certain weight, you know, all I have to do is take out my wallet and look at my driver's license, and I know my perfect weight. I'm 175 pounds. I've been 175 pounds ever since I've had a driver's license, so to speak. It's the same there. And although they did change the color of my hair, they said I have white hair. I used to have blonde hair. And my eyes are still blue. And I mean, basically, as far as all that stuff goes, I'm the same. Now, and from time to time, I am not 175, but I'm under 200, you know. And so these things are just fine. But is it important to me? If it was really important to me, I'd have it instantly. And since it's not really important to me, I have everything else instantly, but not that. Now you say, well, Herb, if you're a master and you can have anything you want and you can do anything you want, why don't you do that? Well, now, okay, Ellen, tell him I don't. You can do anything you want. Now, what if Jesus had the perfect body, the perfect mind, the perfect spirit, the perfect everything? What if he walked around with the perfect form for a 33-year-old man, you know? What if he went around and was the perfect master in every way in his human form and his human self? What would you think of him? You'd say, that's normal. Any 33-year-old man should look good, right? He should look like a fantastic guy. Okay, now, why doesn't he look like a fantastic guy? Because he does not have these opinions of himself. Where are we going to get these opinions of ourselves? Right here in our mind. And where are we going to put them into motion for ourselves? Right in our mind. Now, do each one of you have an ideal for yourself in your mind? Do you have an ideal? You don't? Do you have an idea of an ideal, perfect spirit, mind, and body?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Do you have the ideal of a perfect spirit, mind, and body, whatever the perfect spirit, mind, and body is for you?
Yes.
And do you have it now?
Yes.
Do you have the perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body for you right now?
Yes.
Do you have the perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body for you right now?
Yes.
Do you have the perfect spirit, mind, and body for you right now?
That's correct.
Do you have the perfect spirit, mind, and body for you right now?
Yes.
Do I have the perfect spirit, mind, and body for me right now? Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so what are we talking about? Well, what we're talking about is to be consistent on this. Every one of you had a little hesitation and a little doubt, not more than a lingering instant, but a little hesitation and a little doubt to say yes. What we want to do is to say it without hesitation. And say it and know it and not laugh. Now, Ellen, thank you for being my illustration. When you laugh at something I say because you think it's ludicrous, you recognize it as ludicrous. Now, if instead of recognizing it as ludicrous, as stupid, as outrageous, as dumb, instead of recognizing it that way, you just say, yes, it's true. With confidence, speak your word with me, for me, on me, about me. With confidence, speak it for all the rest of us, each one. In that perfect way, speak it and then it's done. So if you speak with confidence in that way, you have it. Can you understand?
Yes.
And the minute you laugh, you don't see what I'm saying. You know what I mean? The minute you laugh, you're saying, it's not true, it's a joke. And you have to be very careful because I say to the little boy, you are a genius. And he's like 6 months old. You know? How do you know if he's a genius or not? Well, he's a genius because I say he's a genius. And I'm going to say he's a genius as he's growing up. And as he's growing up, he will be that genius in every way. And he will express it in every way. And I don't dare laugh when I say, genius. Oh, you know, that family has never had a genius in its whole experience of having to be in a family. All they had is idiots, just a bunch of stupid people in a family. And this is a genius, you know? Hey, you want to see a miracle? Watch. He's a genius. So, he turns out to be Einstein, you know? You know? A lot of families have had some dumb family in the family, and then all of a sudden they have a bright one. Where did that bright one come from? Where did it come from? Fall back, huh? But we put the cause in motion. Why don't you be a genius?
I am.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm cluing them with my mouth, saying, verbalize, I am, you know, with my tongue, and it takes them a while to figure out, oh yes, I'm supposed to, yeah, I am, you know. Are you a genius?
Of course.
And say, I am.
I am.
Thank you. Are you a genius?
I am.
Are you a genius?
I am.
Am I a genius? I am. somebody else wants to get on the bandwagon here. Are you a genius?
I am.
Wow. Remember that.
Yes.
And don't let anybody ever forget you, especially yourself.
Never.
Saying, I am a genius.
I am a genius.
Okay, now, here's our 98-year-old lady. This lady is blind, and her husband died, and she has to go to a rest home because there's nobody at home to take care of her. And they don't want her to live in the house alone, blind. And so they put her in this rest home, and she goes to the rest home, and she has to wait while the nurse, so to speak, fixes up her room and gets it ready. And then the nurse comes out after an hour, the lady sitting there doing nothing, and she could do nothing in her room and sit out there and do nothing. So the nurse comes out and says, okay, your room is ready for you. And she says, oh, thank you. And so let me wheel you into your room. So she wheels her into the room. And she says, now, we have fixed up this room so lovely just for you. We have put beautiful chintz curtains up and a lovely pink bedspread on here. And the old lady says, now, just a minute. I have already designed how I want that room to be. And that room is already exactly like I want it to be, as I always want my room to be. And I see it in my mind and in my heart, and it is exactly what I want it to be. It is the room that I like and that I appreciate. It has exactly the furniture that I like in it. It has exactly the bedspread and the drapes and the window curtains exactly as I want them to be. And the nurse thought to herself, wow, what a beautiful way to be. To be the creator of your world. Sure, she's blind, but what a blessing, because she didn't see how they had done it. She saw it how she had done it. Now, what they did make no difference at all. The room wouldn't have to have any of those things in it, because for her, it had everything she wanted in it. And she saw that room perfect and beautiful. And for her, the room was beautiful and perfect. Now, the rest of the world looked at the room and saw it as they saw it. They saw it as the physical eyes might see it. But she saw it as her mental eyes and as her heart saw it. And the room was exactly what she wanted. And for the rest of her life, the room was exactly what she wanted. And if she thought in her mind, it would be lovely to have a radio in this room. She might say television, but she said radio. And lo and behold, there would be a radio in that room. Her mental ability to create what exactly that she wants, she would do. Now, if she wanted to have a special little sink right next to her bed that she could reach over and she could press a button and have hot water for coffee or have cold water for her drink, whatever she wanted to have, she could have it. Well, she might burn herself on it. Why should she burn herself on? She knows that hot water is there. She knows how to work it. She knows how to position the cup and then take her hand away. And she knows that when she hears the water go glug, 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 she knows after 3 seconds the cup is full. I mean, she's not stupid. She can't see, but she's not stupid. In fact, she's quite brilliant because she's created the room exactly the way she wanted it to be. And this is a beautiful thing about all of us. We can create our world exactly as we want it to be, and it will be exactly what we want it to be. Because when you walk down the street, you don't see the people walking down the street. You see your brother, you see your uncle, you see someone you know, but otherwise it's just a faceless crowd of people. You don't have any, and when you're walking in the park, and you think to yourself, I can hear that bird singing. Every person who's walking in that park also is no longer there. You only hear that bird, your focus is on that bird, you look up in that tree and you see the bird on the limb, and you could be in paradise, and you are, completely separated from all humanity, and you see that bird. You see, we're the creator of our world much more than we know. And if you wish, you can create the world peace, you can create the world quiet, you can create the world fulfilled in every beautiful way, if this is your choice. I teach about Africa, I teach about Mexico, I teach about all the countries in the world that might be considered third world countries. I teach them, see your government taking all the money that belongs to the government and to the people, and see them investing it in the highways and the roads, in the schools and the hospitals, in all the beneficial things. And when you start doing that as the people, it will be done. But because you say your government is corrupt and they're misusing the money, you're empowering that to be done. And you are your own problem. So within no time, you can create your country being a prosperous, joyous country, because you got the money. Every nation has plenty of money. And all they have to do is know how to resource it and how to plan it. And so this is what I teach in the nations that we go to. And we talk to some high people and we talk to low people. We talk mostly to the children, because the children will talk to their parents and they will say, hey, you know, daddy, you work in the government. Does the government always take all the money that belongs to the people and put it on the people projects? You know, daddy, why is it we don't have more schools? Why is it we don't have good school teachers? Remember, daddy, 4 years ago, before this action of the government took place, we had great school teachers. They were brought in by the missionaries who brought them in, who were really top-notch school teachers. And then when the government changed, they kicked out all the missionaries, and they kicked out this and kicked out that. Now, we don't necessarily want the missionaries to teach their religion to us, but we want good teachers. And the dad says, my son should have the best teachers, you know, and my daughter should have the best teachers. So I will talk in the legislature about this here. You know, we can spend that money this way instead of having it go for that guy's pork belly and that guy's pork pot, you know. We can start doing this in perfect ways. And lo and behold, that happens. But you see, I'm just one little seed planter. And I am the greatest seed planter in the universe. Mm-hmm. Now, what if there were two of us? And what if there were more of us seed planters? And there are. What could happen in the universe? And how quickly could it happen? Right now. And that's the important thing. It's so simple to be yourself and have fun. I'm being myself and having fun. I'm enjoying everything I do. I don't need money, I don't need clothes, I don't need houses, I don't need cars, I don't need travel, I don't need anything. And I got it all. And I got it all. And I go everywhere, and I do everything, and I have a lot of fun. And you can have a lot of fun too. Be yourself and have fun. Okay? What kind of people can strongly say that I am myself and I have fun? Anybody who's a winner. And why do I say that? Because you can be a winner in losing, as well as you can be a winner in winning. You can say, oh, I can never do this, I don't know how to do that, and you will not do it, and you will not know how to do it. You can say, oh, I know how to do that. Yes, I have seen that. I know that I know. I don't know why I know, but I know how to do it. And then you go and do it. You see, the genius within us manifests itself in some very spectacular ways and forms. So, I develop an awareness of it as I claim it. So, you develop an awareness of these things as you claim them, and watch how they become a magic miracle piece for you. And it happens right now in a very beautiful and a very wonderful way. Ellen, would you bring out the certificates, please?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ta-da! They have envelopes for them, don't they? Okay. Oh, I see. You have names on it. So it's yours, you know. So apparently that's yours. So let's look inside here and see what the million-dollar question is. Okay. Well, I made some white copies because I check it out on white paper before I put it on the certificate paper.
Very good idea.
So you got extras. Yeah. Okay, now, what do we have here? The University of Healing, the Board of Regents. Ellen, you got a camera?
I have.
The University of Healing and the Board of, and her camera too, probably. The Board of Regents, on the recommendation of the faculty of the Graduate Department, it will stand at what time you're going to take the picture, at the Department of Graduate Department, and by virtue of the authority in them vested, have conferred upon Barbara J. Rich, the non-denominational, the non-academic degree, Master of Metaphysics, with all the honors, privileges, and obligations thereto pertaining, given at Campo, California, the 29th of January. Now, it was prepared and ready for you on this 28th day of January. And you will have it, and it's signed by Chairman of the Board of Regents, Ellen Jeremini, and the Dean of the University, her. So.
Can you give me your camera?
Would you like my camera?
Yes.
Sure. All right, which pocket I have it in? Here it is. Yeah, too many pockets, right. Okay, come. So, here? Yes, it looks like. All right, here we have this. Let's keep it flat. Nice here. Here we have this lovely certificate. Now let's see how well you do that.
Done.
Bring it here and let's take a look.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure it's absolutely perfect. This way? That's perfect.
Oh.
See? Right there. You can come in a little closer.
I can.
You see how you are?
Yeah.
Ellen? Ellen?
Yeah.
It is on. Look at the picture. This is take the picture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then, you've done that before.
Well, you see, if I want this on...
Oh, we bring it up to the chin.
Then, that's the point. Otherwise...
Okay, shoot fire and say, wonderful, wonderful.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
Mm.
Congratulations. Oh, you are.
This is Anthony.
Right.
Very prompt and fast. Very good.
Barbara. Barbara.
Here's your belief. Okay. Thank you very much.
Very nice.
Now, would you like to sit down while I read it or stand or whatever? Let's see. Who is this for? Who is this for? Here. Put the paper down inside there. No, you. Okay. Sir, would you like to rise and receive your honors here? Turn like this here a little bit. That's the way it tells you. The University of Healing, the Regents of the University of Healing, on the recommendation of the faculty of the College of Arts and Science and Wholeness, and by virtue of the authority in them vested, have conferred upon Anthony Ray Cordova, an academic degree of Bachelor of Metaphysics, with all the honors, privileges, and obligations thereto pertaining, given in Campo, California, the 29th of January, 2003, Chairman of the Board of Regents and Dean of the University. So, my friends.
Congratulations! Yes.
Bravissimo!
All right.
Do this again.
Yeah. Pasta.
Pasta.
That's the reading. To smile. Pasta. Cheese. Somebody says.
Cheese.
He was ranked super.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hello. I have a couple more sentences. It's done.
Fabulous.
Thank you.
That's a cool year, huh?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, it would be me, you could have your doctor.
Oh, I'm definitely.
Yeah, me too.
She wants another ceremony.
You get the doctor, you get the bachelor.
Yes, I never.
A few more sentences.
Well, tomorrow, we conclude our seminar, and we will be here from 3 to 5. Thank you.